All right, this is a test. Get any sound out of this? All right, so let me fix this up here. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. This is the pre-show, I guess. We're going to start at 10:30. We're going to be talking about the Table of the Nations, Genesis chapter 10. We all came from one of three people, Shem, Ham, or Japheth, and for some of us, the combination thereof. Nevertheless, those were our common ancestors. Bloodandfaith.com. All right. If anybody is out there, it'd be great if you could give me a shout out. I'll just put this up there. If anybody can let me know about that, that would be great. And we'll get started in just a minute. Let me see if I can do this. All right. Hey, I got somebody in there. Let me know if you can hear me, please. Just doing a sound check. And that way I can verify that we are in fact streaming live. And I'm going to throw out a few people, a few scriptures out there. Sons of Ham, the Chinese. Oh, we got some good stuff to cover this morning. Shem is the second born. Ever hear that? All right, I got a couple people here. Good. If somebody give me a shout out, let me know how the sound is. That'd be great. Last week we had a problem and I ended up talking for an hour and the sound never went out. So that would be great if we could get that figured out ahead of time. But in the meantime, hearing nothing, I'll get started. Hey, Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. East Coast time. And we're going to talk about Genesis chapter 10. This is the Table of the Nations. It's a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. It's one of my favorite topics in the whole world. And let's see here. And here we go. Okay, I think we're getting sound. But if you guys can verify that, that'd be great. I'm going to shoot out a message to one more person. Oh, okay, good. You can hear us. Okay, perfect. Good. All right. So the Table of the Nations, Genesis chapter 10, it's been around. Obviously, it's been around since the book of Genesis has been around, but people don't talk about it a lot. Every one of us has a common ancestor. We can say it's Adam and Eve. Moving forward from that, every one of us has a common ancestor in Noah. Moving forward from that, every one of us has a common ancestor in either Shem or Ham or Japheth. And then, obviously, some of us have mixed ancestry from one or two or all three of them over the succeeding thousands of years. Now, it's interesting. People don't often talk about Genesis chapter 10. I don't know why. But it has amazing consequences. We look at a situation today in the church, the evangelical church today, and I don't say this out of bad spirit or anything, but it's become almost otherworldly what is talked about on Sunday mornings. And because people don't have the rich depth of the Holy Scripture that goes back to the first 11 chapters of Genesis, they get utterly lost. People get utterly lost, and they try to build a building on sand. They don't have a firm foundation. They don't have a rock. They're not building a knowledge on a solid foundation. They're building it on sand. And a storm comes, and boom, everything goes away. That's why you have churches today that will teach that homosexuality is perfectly acceptable. They've never read the first chapter of Genesis. They have no idea what it means when God said he created Adam, and from Adam he said, hey, it's not good to be alone. I will give you a female that is suitable for you. It's the perfect correspondence for you. And when they ignore the story of creation, many modern Christians, they think that we evolved over time and chance and Jesus just came along to, I'm not sure to do what. And if you have a conversation with them about that, it ends very quickly because they, by and large, reject the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Yet, it's everything that's after the first 11 chapters of Genesis depends upon those first 11 chapters, including the entire story of Jesus Christ. Without the first 11 chapters of Genesis, the first 11 stories, without the first 11 chapters of Genesis, the story of Jesus Christ doesn't make sense. Now, there is a scripture, and if you want to follow along with a few of the notes, I mean, this is not a perfect outline, but I've thrown a few notes up at bloodandfaith.com. And one of the scriptures that people come up with to object to the teaching of genealogies is Titus chapter 3, verse 9. It says, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Well, we have a problem with this. And I'm not saying that this is a bad scripture. It's a great scripture. But you have to take everything in context. If you read Luke and Matthew, it starts off with a genealogy that goes right back to, it's all the ancestors of Jesus Christ. Both Luke and Matthew have a genealogy. Who is Jesus Christ? Revelation does too. Jesus Christ said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. That's his genealogy. Hebrews does. He's a high priest of the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek had no father or mother. He is the Ancient of Days. So genealogy is a core component of the Holy Scriptures. So I've talked about these subjects many times at bloodandfaith.com. People take one scripture and they try to build a religion around it, and it doesn't work very good. Another one that I talk about frequently is the Bible. Jesus said, thou shalt not judge. And he said, well, don't judge people. Don't judge people. And when they say, don't judge people, guess what they're doing? They're judging people. So you have to have a more mature understanding of what the Holy Scriptures are saying. If you ask somebody, is it wrong to judge somebody? And they say, yes, it's absolutely wrong to judge somebody. Well, aren't you judging people that judge then? Aren't you doing the very thing that you accuse them of charging them not to do? And that's the problem with building a theology on one little scripture. Who's the judge? Who is the judge? It's Jesus Christ. Are you going to try to tell Jesus Christ he's not to judge? Is Jesus Christ a bad Christian because he's the judge of all men's souls? Is Jesus Christ a bad Christian because as you go through the Holy Spirit, if you go through the Gospels and he's constantly getting in people's faces and warning them of bad things to come because of who they are and what they say and how they act? And so, oh, Jesus is a bad Christian. He shouldn't judge. And so this is the same. The same way I'm talking about don't judge is the same way you need to talk about genealogies. Yes, Titus does say that. Titus 3:9. Yet over and over and over again in the Bible, we see these genealogies. Genesis 10, 1 Chronicles 1. Many places in Chronicles there's genealogies in many different chapters of the book of Chronicles. Matthew. Let's see, where is it? Matthew chapter, got it right here. Matthew chapter 1, it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 3, it's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So before you say you can't talk about genealogies, you have to put that in the context of everything that God has done, both in the Hebrew Scriptures and in the Greek Scriptures. Now, this topic of the Table of the Nations is a huge topic. And many, many books have been written about the Table of Nations over the centuries, going back a couple thousand years, talking about who the ancestors of these men are, the descendants of these men are, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this chapter talks about 70 nations that emerge from these men. And it goes all the way back even to Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish scholar who was actually, he escaped from Jerusalem just before it was destroyed. And to this day, people read, he's a historian. And they read, you know, he's talked about who some of these descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth are. And many books have been written about it. If you go to bloodandfaith.com, the article I have up for this morning gives you a few, just a few links that you can follow and you can read to your heart's content. You can spend a lifetime on this. And some men have. You say, well, is it important? Is it not important? Well, if it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in the Holy Scriptures. If genealogy wasn't important, it wouldn't be in the Holy Scriptures. One main key for genealogy is to prove that Jesus Christ is, in fact, 100% man. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind. He's 100% man. Genealogically, through Mary, he's a descendant of Adam. She's a descendant of Eve. She's a descendant of Noah. She's a descendant of Shem and Judah and David. And the genealogy is all there. Who's the father of Jesus Christ? Of course, it's God the Father. So Jesus Christ is 100% God. He's God in the flesh. It's the incarnation. So I can't possibly cover everything that Genesis chapter 10 has to say this morning, but I'm going to hit on a few specific things. I'm going to talk about Cush and Nimrod, Ham and Japheth, and Eber. So let's start going through this. Remember, one of the primary goals of Satan is to destroy mankind, to partner with mankind in rebellion against God, and then to destroy the seed of the woman, to utterly wipe out mankind. And in his seduction of Eve, he didn't consummate that seduction, but boy, he wanted to. That was in his heart. Didn't happen. Later on in Genesis chapter 6, we see how the fallen angels bred with women and produced, well, there's a mixing of kinds, not only between the fallen angels and the beautiful women, from whence we get the mighty men of old, men such as Hercules that we read about in, myths and legends. But as you can imagine, those things are based in fact as well. And then there was a yearning to wipe out the ultimate seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. From his birth, they tried to murder him. From his very birth. And they couldn't get him because he escaped to Egypt, and they wiped out all the two-year-old boys in the region of Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. They wiped them out. And then when they moved back to, they're going to move back to Judea, and they were warned, don't move here. They still want to kill the kid. And so they move out. They leave the land of the Jews. They go up to Galilee. And throughout the life of Jesus Christ, they read about how they plotted to murder him over and over and over again, to get rid of that pure seed, the Redeemer, the pure seed, the second Adam. And eventually, of course, they do murder him, but he rises from the dead. All right, so it matters. Now, does this yearning to continue to destroy mankind continue to exist? Yes, it certainly does. Now, a couple other points that I want to make here. I had a blog podcast a while back on the book of Galatians. Galatian is from the word Galatia, which is from the word Gaul. The people that settled in Galatia were from Gaul, which is northwestern Europe. They were Celts. It's a Celtic people. Does it matter? Well, of course it matters. Does it matter who your ancestors are? Of course it matters. Why does it matter? Well, Genesis chapter 10, 1 Chronicles 1, Matthew 1, Luke 3, Now, does that mean there's greater or lesser? Actually, yes, it does. And we're going to get into some of that. Certainly Canaan was was cursed by Noah. We already saw that. And as you know, if you listen to me, I'm not a great believer that everybody's exactly the same. To say that everybody's exactly the same as me is an insult to all of you. Why would anybody want to be like me? What's so great about me? Don't let me insult you by saying that we're all the same. We're not all the same. It's a glorious thing that God has did. Is a woman the same as a man? Thank God, no. Thank God there's a difference. Well, what do the French say? Vive la différence. Long live the difference. It wouldn't that be horrible if there was no men and no women? For starters, we wouldn't be here. Thank God there's a difference. The fact that there's men and women is a wonderful thing. Every family's different. My family's different than the family that lives down the street. I think that's a good thing. Does that mean my family's better or their family's worse? No. It means we're different. And God will take people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nations and have them redeemed in Jesus Christ. God Almighty is the author of the nations. Mankind, fallen mankind, wanted to extinguish the difference between the bloodlines. Remember that. And we'll get into that in the next week or two at Babel. Nope, we're all together. All going to be one. God said, no, that's not what I said. I said, spread out and be different. To see which one of you, see which family will serve Jesus Christ. In fact, let's go right there. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It said, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, verse 27, that they would seek God. And the corporate is just as important as the individual in the Holy Scriptures. The nation matters as much as the individual. God is a God of the nations. From Abraham, he says, you'll be the father of many nations. Now, it's interesting here. It says he appointed their, not only their boundaries, but their times. Sometimes it's time for a nation to end. What am I talking about? And what am I specifically talking about in Acts chapter 17, verse 26 here? Well, I'm so glad you asked that. We have to go back to Genesis 15. And God's speaking to Abraham. He said, Abraham, see this land here? It's all going to be yours. But not yet. Not yet, because the iniquity of the Amorites, who were a nation, is not yet complete. So God was speaking about a land that had boundaries and the people that lived there. And he says, this will be your land, Abraham, but not yet, which refers to Acts chapter 17. Their appointed times. The Amorites had an appointed time in that land, and then they were to be extinguished. And God gave that land to the descendants of Abraham, specifically the descendants of Israel. Interesting, interesting stuff. I love this stuff. I know we live in a world where we're all the same. We're all citizens of the world. No borders, no nations. That's a return to Babel. God is not impressed. God is not impressed with the return to Babel. When they tried to build Babel, God came down and said, nope, that's not what I said. Because if you're all the same, none of you will serve me. None of you will serve me. I want to find out who's going to serve me, who will serve his son, Jesus Christ. Not only as individuals, but as families. And what's a nation but an extended family? Well, I don't believe in nations. Really, do you believe in your family? Now, these days, you know, like we've said before, some people think the definition of a family is two lesbians and a parakeet. But I would say to you that that life cycle is death in one generation. It's death in one generation. No homosexual is the product of homosexuality. At least not genetically, biologically, through birth. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have issues. We all have issues. I got issues. Ask my wife if I got issues. We all got issues. Doesn't make it right. Oh, I just like to kill people. Okay, you got an issue. But it doesn't make it right. Well, I was born that way. Don't I get to kill people? No, you don't. We all got issues. All right, let's get back. Let's get back. Genesis chapter 10. These are the records of the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and the sons who were born to them after the flood. Okay, Shem, Ham, and Japheth had no offspring before the flood. How old were they when they got off the boat? They were at least 100 years old. No, let me take that back. They were close to 100 years old. I think they're at the most 100 years old. I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Now, when these descendants are listed, who's listed first? Japheth is listed first. Because we need to talk about, well, who's the older? Is it Japheth or is it Shem that's the older? And we're gonna talk about this. Some people say, well, it's Japheth because he's listed first. Well, not here in Genesis chapter 10, not beginning in verse 2. The list of the offspring, when they list the offspring of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they list Japheth's offspring before Shem's. And they list Ham's offspring before Shem's. So just because it says in Genesis 10, verse 1, lists Shem first and Japheth last, doesn't mean Shem's the oldest. And it doesn't mean Ham was the second born either. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. The sons of Japheth, by and large, went to Europe. They become a European people. They become the Europeans are the sons of Japheth. By and large, the Europeans are the sons of Japheth. By and large, the people that went to Africa are the sons of Ham. And by and large, the people that the sons of Shem stayed in what we know as the Middle East. But it's not quite that simple. And so we're going to dig into some of that. My ancestors came from Japheth. And, you know, within Europe, there's great diversity, diversity of languages, diversity of borders, diversity of families. Notice in here, the sons of Jacob, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, the sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz. Okay. You've heard of Ashkenazic Jews? So whether these Jews were actually descendants of Ashkenaz or they simply settled in the land of Ashkenaz, it gives you an idea. It gives you an idea as you think about the world we live in and the different peoples around there. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. Javan was Greece. Java was Greece. Now, you heard about the Spice Islands in Indonesia, and you learn about the, you know, there's a word for that over there, too. And it's because the European explorers found these islands, and they called it that. Doesn't mean that's where their ancestors went. But it's all there. Now, verse 5, I wanted to get into this. We're talking about the sons of Japheth. From these, the coastlands of the nations were separated into their lands. Everyone according to his language, according to their families, according to their nations. Okay? The sons of Japheth form the coastlands of the nations. The Bible talks a lot about the coastlands. And I have that listed at bloodandfaith.com. There's many, many scriptures that refer to the coastlands, and they're referring to the sons of Japheth. Let's see if I can pull some of those up here. Here's about the coastlands. They raise their voices, they shout for joy. They cry out from the west concerning the majesty of the Lord. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the east, the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we hear, glory the righteous one. The coastlands of the sea. Isaiah 24:15. It's a prophecy that these people are going to serve the living God. They will serve Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42:4. He will not be disheartened and crushed until he has established justice on the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. It's referring specifically about the sons of Japheth. Isaiah 42:12. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. All right, there's a reason that Jesus Christ lived in Galilee of the Gentiles. He was trying to reach the lost sons of Israel, and then he goes to the Gentiles. Isaiah 51:5. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth. My arm will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait for me. They will wait expectantly for my arm. Isaiah 60. Certainly the coastlands will wait for me. Certainly the coastlands will wait for me. Zephaniah 2:11. The Lord will terrify them, for he will starve all the gods of the earth, and all the coastlands of the nations will bow down to him, everyone from its own place. You didn't know that was there, did you? You didn't know that the sons of Japheth were inhabited the coastlands of the sea. You didn't realize that there was so much talk in the Bible about the coastlands of the sea. These nations are going to serve the living God. They're going to serve Jesus Christ. And that we saw the European nations, the coastlands of the sea, converted to Jesus Christ over the last 2,000 years. And now, of course, we're experiencing the great falling away. I'm still hoping for that revival of Ezekiel 37. All right. From these, the coastlands of the nations were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, according to their nations. This is important. We've seen in Acts chapter 17, it talks about the boundaries and the times. These have never gone away. These have never gone away. God did not give up 80% of the Bible because we showed up in 2022. The Word of God is eternal. So these nations, we got nations, lands, languages, and families. This is the foundation of understanding the world that we live in. Nations, languages, families, and lands. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this. If the modern people wrote the Bible today, Babel would have been the epitome of everything good in mankind. It would have said, oh, we all need to be one. Babel is exactly where we want to be. And they would have said, oh, these bad people that came along to try to divide the nations and divide the peoples, they're evil. But, you know, we overcame the evil people and we kept Babel whole and we built the tower into heaven. That's what they'd say today. That's the project of today. That's the project of 2022. It's the Great Reset. It's the new order of being. It's written on our money. Novo Ordem Seclorum. New order of the ages. Out of many, one. God said, out of one, many. The Holy Scripture says, out of one, many, not out of many, one. Don't bring them all together. Separate them. Why? So to see which nations are going to serve the Almighty God. Because if they're all one, they're all going to serve Satan. And they're going to be utterly destroyed. God's the author of diversity. Mankind's a liar because he's been under the influence of Satan. Oh, we want diversity. No, you don't. God wanted diversity. That's why he separated the people by their lands, by their languages, by their boundaries, by their times, by their families. Oh, I believe we're all one. Really? Well, how come you have a lock on your front door? How come you get a fence in your backyard? Why don't you invite everybody in to come in and share your bed with you? I don't even let my neighbors do that. So this is the kind of theological understanding. Theology just means the Word of God that the church lacks today. And no wonder we're in such a mess. We lose the foundations and we can't offer guidance to our nation, to the people we live with, to people around us, because we don't even know. The church doesn't even know. Here's that scripture about the times. Genesis 15, 16. In the fourth generation, this is God speaking to Abraham, they will return here. Abraham's descendants will return here. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet reached its full measure. All right, who are the Amorites? They're sons of Canaan, Genesis 10, 5, Gen 15. We'll get to that. So they have their boundaries and their families and their language as and their times. The time for the Amorites was up when the Hebrew nation left Egypt and marched into the promised lands. Time's up, baby. Your time's over. Time to be slaughtered and moved aside. Sons of Israel are moving in. So it's sometimes it's time for a nation it's to be over. And here, certainly this is an example of that. And it's right out of the Bible. Both Greek and Hebrew scriptures. All right, let's talk about Ham. Ham's an interesting character. There's a lot going on with Ham. In fact, if you read this book, the scriptures that describe the sons of Japheth are actually very few. There's a lot more scriptures in Genesis chapter 10 that talk about the sons of Ham. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. All right, we're going to stop right there. Cush is traditionally ascribed to the Ethiopians, but we're going to find out that it's not just the Ethiopians. Okay, who was the most famous son of Cush? It was Nimrod. What did Nimrod found? He founded Babel. Nimrod was an evil man. Interesting. Ham was not liked by Noah either, by the way. Just got to put that out there. And Noah cursed. Ham made fun of his dad. And Noah cursed a specific son of Ham by the name of Canaan. All right, so the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Mizraim is Egypt. And to this day, that term is used interchangeably by the Egyptians. Mizraim and Egypt, the same thing. Put, generally, it's attributed to an area around Libya. Interesting, in the Bible, Put has no descendants listed. Doesn't mean he had no descendants, but there's none listed. So I'm not sure what happened to him. Canaan has got a long legacy. Canaan has a long legacy. The sons of Cush, but we're going to start with Cush. The sons of Cush were Seba and Havilah and Sabta, Rama, Sabteka. The sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Now, it goes on. Now we get into Nimrod. Nimrod is a fascinating character. Now, Cush became the father of Nimrod. All right? And so my question is, okay, well, you just listed the sons of Cush. And it doesn't say that Cush was the son of Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabteka, or Sheba or Dedan. It says, now Cush became the father of Nimrod. Was Cush directly the father of Nimrod? He's listed completely separately. In other words, pay attention, people. This guy's different than everybody else. He's completely different. He's very, very important. Does he warrant his own genealogy direct from Cush? Apparently he does. Who was the mother of Nimrod? I don't know. Now, Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. All right? And we talked about these mighty ones out of Genesis chapter 6 when the immortals mated with the mortals. And their offspring became the mighty ones of the earth. What was going on with Nimrod here? What was going on here? I don't know the answer to that, but something different was going on with Nimrod. He was a mighty one on the earth, and the Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And, you know, I used to think, oh, I want to be like Nimrod because I love to hunt. Well, it turns out what they really mean there, he was a hunter of the souls of men, and he faced off with the Lord. They were enemies. Nimrod and Jesus Christ were enemies. They were enemies. Therefore, it said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Nimrod is a very, very important person in the Bible. And I know we skip him over. Nobody pays attention to this. But boy, the scriptures pay attention to him. And I got a feeling it's going to, you know, we're going to have to pay more attention to him as things go on. He was a mighty one on the earth. There's other mighty ones on the earth. Sometimes people talk about we won't get into that. But they've talked about other people that will arise who will be mighty ones against the Lord, a hunter of the souls of men, to rule over the nations in opposition to Jesus Christ. You guys can figure that out. Listen to this. Listen to this. Nimrod, the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. The beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel. Right there. That's all you need to know about the guy. He was able to corral mankind together in the land of Shinar, lower Mesopotamia, down between the two rivers, and have a great urban center uniting mankind and building the tower that would reach into heaven. And Erech and Akkad and Calland in the land of Shinar. Okay, Shinar, did a little research on that. The land of Shinar means a cast out branch. What happens to the branches that are trimmed off and cast out? They're burned right up into the Gospels. A rejected, who's Satan? Satan's a rejected branch. Isaiah says that Satan himself is a rejected branch. The land of Shinar, the land of the rejected branch. This is an antichrist, globalist civilization led by none other than Nimrod, who faced off against Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is eternal. Say, oh yeah, he was this dude that lived a long time ago. He's a religious figure. No, he's the author and creator of everything. He's the eternal one. He's the origin of everything, and he's the purpose and meaning of everything, the Alpha and the Omega. Before Abraham was born, I am, Jesus Christ said. Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1. He's the creator. By him, through him, and for him, all things came into being. All right, verse 11. From that land, he, Nimrod, went forth into Assyria. Assyria is farther north than the land of Shinar was. Babel's destroyed. He goes back up into Assyria. That's upriver on the Tigris and the Euphrates. And he built Nineveh. We also know that Nineveh was a great evil kingdom. Jonah went to Nineveh. They repented, but they were an ungodly kingdom. God was going to utterly destroy them. Jonah went. There's a lot of sermons right there. And Rehoboth, and Calah, that is the great city. Now we talk about Egypt. Verse 13, Mizraim became the father of the Ludim, and the Anamim, and the Lehabim, and the Nephthalim, and the Patherson, and the Caslehim. All right, sorry guys, I'm not any better pronouncing these words than y'all are. And from which came the Philistines. All right, so who do the Philistines come out of? They come out of Mizraim, they come out of Egypt. Okay, the Philistines and the Canaanites are a different people. They're both from Ham. But the Philistines are from Mizraim, from Egypt, and the Canaanites, well, they're Canaanites. They're direct from Ham. Philistines, Ham, Mizraim, and then the Philistines. So they're not the same people. Canaanites and the Philistines are two different people, both descendants of Ham. And it goes on. And Canaanite became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Heth, from my understanding, is the father of the Hittites, who initially go up and they settle in the region of Anatolia, and later on they are dispersed. Some scholars say that the Hittites are actually the ancestors of the Mongols and the Chinese. Again, this subject is fascinating and it is vast. You go to the lead article at bloodandfaith.com, I've got some links to some of the stories you can read about that there. Not everybody agrees on this. Some people think the Chinese are from Ham, some from Shem, some from Japheth. I love the search. I love the search. I love the study. Is there a right answer to this? Yes, there is. Do I know what it is today? No, I don't. But it's valuable. And it's fascinating because we all came from there. Now, the world wants to make that go away. Satan wants to make that go away. Oh, no, we're all just byproducts of time and chance. Big fat lie. All right. So Canaan becomes the father of these people, the Jebusite and the Amorite. All right. So Canaan is the father of Amorite. Well, we just read about how the Lord said to Abraham, hey, it's going to be four more generations before your descendants come here because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. Well, there you go. Here's the Amorite, son of Canaan. Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Averites, the Zamites, and the Hamites. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were spread abroad. Now, there's a theory that after the Hebrews invaded the land of Canaan, they had to leave. They either got slaughtered or they left. A lot of them emigrated. It makes sense to think that a lot of them ended up in Africa with their kindred. That makes sense. Do I know that for sure? No. But the Bible says they spread abroad. But also, please pay attention to the fact that one of the sons of Ham, through Cush, whose name was Nimrod, also settled extensively in the Middle East. The Hamitic peoples also lived extensively in the Middle East, not just in Africa. And they were the founders of Babel. Nimrod's the founder of Babel and the Assyrian Empire and Nineveh. This stuff's rich. This stuff is fascinating. For the most part, the Japhethites, they just booked. They said, we're out of here, man. Y'all do what you need to do, but we're gone. They peopled the coastlines of the earth. They went to Europe. Did they go anywhere but Europe? Well, yes. The Medes, Madai. You've heard of the story of the Medes and the Persians? Well, it's said that the Madai is the Medes. Well, that's from Japheth. And you study the Persians today, they're considered an Aryan race. Oh, he said the word Aryan. Same genetic stock and origins over thousands of years. This stuff's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. It's fascinating. Does that mean they're better than anybody else? No, has nothing to do with that. Listen, let me be very, very clear. And I've preached about this. I've taught about this. The Almighty went out of his way to find a son of Ham to redeem right after Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Went out of his way to find a son of Ham. He told Philip, stop what you're doing. Stop preaching to those Gentiles. Stop preaching to those Jews. Get thee down on that road that goes south down to Gaza, and you're going to find a son of Ham. I will redeem the son of Ham. Don't ever forget that. Philip the evangelist, mind his own business. Oh, he's preaching up a storm. He's preaching to the Samaritans. He's preaching to the Jews. God says, stop. Philip's like, what? No, this is good. This is rich, man. I'm doing good. No, stop. Stop talking to him. Go down there. I swore an oath, the Almighty says, to a son of Ham. And it goes all the way back to the Ethiopian eunuch that rescued Jeremiah the prophet. So Philip goes and he finds another Ethiopian eunuch and he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. And we see in the book of Acts, we talk about Simon the Black. Book of Acts talks about Simon the Black. No, God's going to have a people from every tongue, tribe, people, and nation that will serve him. Are they all equal or all the same? Of course, no. Why would we want to be equal? Why would anybody want to be just like me? That would be an insult to y'all. All right. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanite were spread abroad. Now, in other words about these families and nations, not every nation will serve Jesus Christ, and those that won't will be utterly destroyed. And that goes for individuals, it goes for nations, it goes for families. My greatest prayer in life is that my offspring would serve Jesus Christ and that they in turn would raise Christian offspring and not to be like everybody else around them. The greatest legacy I can give to my children is that faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing I can give them. My greatest prayer is they in turn pass that down to their children and their grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren. That's the greatest gift you can give your children. It's not gold or silver or lands or money. It's a family plan. Am I right? It's a family plan. God called Abraham to raise his children up in the fear of God and their children after them. Here is some of the territory of the Canaanite. Canaanites were not good people. They were not good people. Oh, you're judging people. Yeah, I know. Territory of the Canaanites: Sidon, Gaza, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Laboam. All right? Not good people. The Amorite, Sodomite, Gomorrah, Nimrod. These are all the sons of Ham. Now, doesn't mean, like I just said, God sent Philip the evangelist out of his way to find a son of Ham. All right? Philip the evangelist, he goes to an Ethiopian eunuch. All right, these are the sons of Ham according to their, listen, their families, their languages, their lands, their nations. Again, their families, their languages, their lands, their nations. Bloodlines, land, languages. Now, we're almost a little bit ahead of the story because later on we're going to find out how it came to be that they got their own languages and they got their own lands. That's the story of the Tower of Babel, and that's coming up real soon, maybe next Sunday, maybe the Sunday after that. But remember, even in the Greek scriptures, right there in Acts chapter 17, God said, look, there's a reason he separated these nations, gave them their own boundaries and their own different times. It's just like, you know, why are there 7 billion people on the earth? Well, who's going to serve God? Who will serve Jesus Christ? Not everybody will. Same with the nations. Give them a chance. Let's see which ones will serve Jesus Christ. It's our job to convert the nations of the world. The nations. All right, then we go in and get into Shem. Now, we're not going to cover Shem a lot because Shem's got a long legacy, and we're going to have lots of opportunities to cover Shem. But it says, Shem was the father of all the children of Eber. Okay, Eber is extremely important in the line of Shem, just as Nimrod was very, very important in the line of Ham, especially in the line of Cush. Eber is singled out. Hey, guys, pay attention. He's different. He's different than the rest of them. Eber's different than the rest of the sons of Shem, just like Nimrod was different than the rest of the sons of Cush and Ham. Interesting that we have two. Well, there's not quite a singling out of any of the sons of Japheth like that, other than there's a second order of descendants listed after Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. We have the sons of Gomer listed and the sons of Javan mentioned. So clearly, Gomer and Javan were preeminent with their descendants in the line of Japheth. Under Ham, clearly Nimrod is. Under Shem, clearly Eber is. All right, Shem, the father of the children of Eber and the older brother of Japheth, or the brother of Japheth the elder. Okay, this is a key point for me. May not be anybody else, but this is key to me. Who's older, Japheth or Shem? Well, if it depends on, go to BibleGateway.com and look that verse up and try to figure out who's the oldest. It's about 50-50 split. Some interpret it Japheth the old elder, and some interpret that Shem was the elder brother of Japheth. I'm going to give you a reason why I think Japheth was the elder. King James says it's clearly it's Japheth the elder brother. I'm going to give you another reason why I think Japheth was the older brother. And we'll get there. But first, let's talk a little bit, just a little bit more about Shem. Shem's the father of Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, Aram, and Aram is the father of Uz. Okay, who's the most famous guy from the land of Uz? Any takers? Job from the land of Uz. How about that? Job. Why did the Bible say it's Job from the land of Uz? Well, there you go. It's right there. Uz was a descendant of Shem. Eber was a descendant of Shem. Okay, so Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, and Peleg. Okay, those are the direct descendants. Shem begat Arpachshad, Arpachshad begat Shelah, Shelah begets Eber, Eber begets Peleg. All right, what happens in the days of Peleg? We're going to tie this into Babel. It says, in the days of Peleg, for in his days the earth is divided. In the days of Peleg, so while Peleg was alive, the earth is divided. What does that mean? It's talking about the Tower of Babel. God comes down and said, no, I didn't tell you to stay together. I told you to separate and spread out. And he confused the languages and gave them all different languages to enforce the separation that he designed. And so Peleg's there. The earth is divided. And so what language do the descendants of Eber speak? Well, of course, they speak the language of Eber. Hebrew. It's all there, man. It's all right in the Bible. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. I love this stuff. And when we get into the Tower of Babel, we'll see this. All right, 10 verse 32. Now these are the families of the sons of Noah, according to the genealogies. Oh, he said genealogy. Titus 3 verse 6 says you can't talk about genealogy. Well, how about that? Yet the Bible is full of genealogies. Genesis 10, 1 Chronicles 1, all throughout Chronicles. Matthew 1, Luke 3. These are the families of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies by their sons. And out of all of these, the nations were separated on the earth after the flood. All right? Out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all the nations of the earth are separated out after the flood. And you go have your own lands. I don't live in a commune with my wife and my kids. I know that's a thing these days, or it used to be in the 60s. Let's all just share, man. Let's just share. Guess what? Guess what the communist goal is? It's a global commune. And if you go have a read it, Engels wrote the Origins of the Family. And he says, look, this is ridiculous. And he gives a philosophical, intellectual argument for undermining the family. He says, you can't treat your wife as your own private property. It needs to be shared. She needs to be shared. Your children are not yours. They need to be shared. And it's the utter destruction of their institutions that God created in Genesis, first 11 chapters of Genesis. And so we've got evil people out there saying, you know, your children aren't yours. They need to be shared by the whole community. Oh, God, isn't that a bad thing? Disneyland. Evil, evil. Oh, they're not yours to teach and raise up in the fear of God, as God told Abraham to do with his offspring. Turn them over to the priests of Moloch and have them, the entire biblical order undermined. And so we have to fight this. But the problem in the church is that nobody hears this stuff. And unfortunately, you know, pastors, and God bless the pastors, like I've said, I've always spoken strongly for all the pastors. It's a hard, hard job. And I have infinite respect for them. But because of the pressures they're under and they're, what they've been taught, they focus on, well, let's just pick that last little seed before we fly away. But if the foundations are destroyed, your house ends up collapsing. And I don't mean that for your particular church or even your life. I'm talking for the nations and the generations. So we've reached a point in the United States in 2022 and the rest of the nations that came out of Christendom, where the foundation's gone, and the flood comes, and it's been wiped away, and we're facing annihilation unless we rebuild the kind of foundations that I'm talking about. All right, I've carried on a long time, folks. It's almost an hour now, and preacher preaches more than an hour. Man, that's not right. You got to cut it off before then. So I've just barely touched on this subject. If you go to fritzreport.podbean.com, I'll put a copy of this up that you can listen to later if you just got on here. If you go to bloodandfaith.com, you can see some of the notes, some of the references I've used for what I have to say there here. And just a few resources out there that go vastly beyond what I've even been able to begin touching on. And that's it for now, but I will be doing an after show sometime today, and I'll put that up recorded. Sandy VB, Jason, BME, and PKJN, and the rest of you out there, God bless you all, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great Sunday.